Coming up on Locked On Dodgers, I'll answer a few listener questions about Freddie Freeman, Chris Bryant, and umpires. And then I will do a fun little activity where I reimagine the Dodgers 40-man roster if everyone they have had been drafted differently. So let's get Locked On Dodgers.
You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, Dodger fans. I am Jeff Snyder of Baseball Essential, and this is Locked On Dodgers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm flying solo today. Vince spent Sunday at the Raiders game, and so I am covering today's episode. Looking forward to talking with you. Vince and I assume we'll do something together this week. Tomorrow will either be just him or just me or together. Only time will tell. I want to thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every day. Remember, this show is free and available on all podcast platforms and on YouTube simply by searching for Locked On Dodgers. This is the daily podcast covering the Los Angeles Dodgers, bringing you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue. And like I said, I'm going to answer a couple listener questions. We got some interesting questions, partly in response to a call we put out for questions, and also one that a topic that a listener sent proactively. So I'm going to talk about those things, and then I'm going to do a fun little activity where I go through the whole Dodgers 40-man roster, and every player who was drafted, I'm going to say, what if somebody else had been drafted instead? I'll explain more when we get to that actual part of the show. But for now, let's jump into the first listener question. This one actually, this one was proactive, came from Ian Lafferty at Ian Lafferty 83 on Twitter. He said, what if instead of MLB assigning the umpires for the playoffs, you let the teams run a snake draft? Each playoff team drafts three umpires to increase the likelihood of better playoff umpiring. That's kind of... My gut instinct is I love it, partly because anything that makes it more of a meritocracy to get playoff umpiring jobs, I am a fan of. It is ridiculous to me that bad umpires continue to get postseason assignments. And I harped on this throughout the postseason on social media. Basically, it is entirely a seniority thing. It is not merit-based at all. And so we end up with a postseason with a lot of bad umpires getting postseason assignments, which means your chances of having bad umpiring in the postseason go way up. Now, umpires are human. I don't want to come across as somebody who just is totally anti-umpire. For my main thing, the reason I harp on it as much as I do is because there are better options. And I don't know if, I don't know if the technology is ready for robot umpires calling balls and strikes. But I think it's got to be really close. And I think that as soon as it's ready, it needs to be in place because it's not fair to the umpires. I understand why they do it the way they do, because when baseball was invented 6,000 years ago, we didn't have the technology we have. So somebody had called balls and strikes. So they put an umpire right behind the catcher, said, do your best. And, I watch games. Sometimes I'll watch a game on YouTube or whatever from 30 years ago before they had the strike zone boxes on the screen. And without the strike zone boxes, it's kind of funny. You can't tell as much if an umpire really messed up or not. But when I look at the balls and strikes, I do think today's umpires are the best they've ever been. But I think part of that is because the younger guys come in who are just more interested in using technology to improve their job performance, all of those things. And so I think umpiring is going to get better anyway. But the fact is, and will always be, that if you put the guy calling balls and strikes behind a 220-pound man, so he has a partially obstructed view by the catcher, pitchers are throwing harder than ever before with more movement, all that stuff, it's a losing battle. And so the correct answer is have technology calls the balls and strikes. But until we get there, I love the idea of saying, you know what, umpires, the teams know who's good and who's bad. And so, we're going to let them pick. And like Ian suggested, if each team picks three, there's six umpires in every series. Every game has six umpires in the postseason. So each team picks three. And that means that every game is between two teams, so they're six umpires. The only potential downside is you might run into umpires. I don't think you would, but there would at least be the perception of a possibility of umpires, you know, trying harder to be good against or in games that feature probable playoff teams. So, I'm umpiring a Dodger game today. I got to be on my best job performance because the Dodgers are going to be drafting umpires for the postseason. And even worse, you know, if you could run into the possibility of favoritism, the Dodgers are playing, who's a team that hardly ever makes the playoffs? Padres, I guess. I get it. Or anybody, you know, the Dodgers are playing a bad team. Umpire might say, "Woo, I want to get on the Dodgers' good side." And there's no downside to getting on the Marlins' bad side because they're not going to make the playoffs. So they might work in favor of the Dodgers. Again, I don't think that would happen, but I think there's that possibility of a perception of bias. But you know, I had never thought of this until Ian brought it up. And so I'm flying kind of off the cuff. I've had about a half hour to think about it since I saw it on my Twitter. But overall, anything that increases the chances of good umpires getting postseason assignments, I'm in favor of. And this would definitely do that. Don't know if it's the perfect solution, but it is a little bit of gamesmanship. And, you know, if we're talking about this in the realm of crazy ideas that they would never actually do, but what if, then I'm totally on board. If we're talking about actual realistic, practical solutions that they might actually implement, there's probably some obstacles to overcome. And I think, you know, until we have robot umps, the best answer is just to have Major League Baseball use the data that's readily available to them that says, hey, guess what? These umpires are good at their jobs and these umpires are bad at their jobs, and give the postseason assignments to the guys who are good at their jobs. MLB has obviously proven that they have no interest in doing that. Hashtag Jeff for commissioner. And so until they do, yeah, let make the teams draft. Sure. Whatever it takes to take the decision out of Rob Manfred's hand, because Rob Manfred is bad at decisions. And so don't let him make them. So thank you, Ian. I love that question. I would love to have more off-the-wall questions like that. That's a lot of fun. These crazy what-ifs are always fun to think about. So thank you, Ian. I'm going to come back in a minute. I'm going to answer a couple listener questions about Freddie Freeman and Chris Bryant. I want to thank you all for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every day. It means a lot to us. We hope that you will continue to do that and go ahead and keep it locked on Dodgers. So Christmas is over. Christmas treat time is almost over. Probably you probably still have some leftover stuff sitting around, but you know what you should always have sitting around? Built Bar, because it is as delicious as any Christmas treat, but it's also really good for you. Every Built Bar is low in calories, sugar, net carbs and fat, and high in protein. It's the best of both worlds, delicious and healthy. You know, it gives you the fuel you need, whether you're trying to lose weight, build muscle, just have a healthy snack available just to, you know, so you're not just eating gross stuff all the time. Built Bars are great for any of those goals, and you can get a really good deal on Built Bar. We've told you a lot about Built Bar all the time. You know, if they don't have, or if you don't know what flavors you like, go to their website, figure out what flavor you like, or order a mix box, and you can actually try a bunch of them, and then you'll know what you like. Either way, you can save some money. Just go to built.com and use promo code LOCKED15, and you will get 15% off your next order. That's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. Okay, I have returned. Thanks again for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every day. Again, I am Jeff Snyder. Love talking Dodgers with you. I had two similar questions in response to a call we put out for questions. Jesus Fernandez, he asked, who is the better fit, Chris Bryant or Freddie Freeman? And then Martin Duran said, any serious to the rumor that the Dodgers are looking to nab Freddie Freeman? And so I thought I'd lump those two together. Going with the second one first, as far as seriousness to the rumor, you know, I don't have any inside information. What I do know is that Freddie Freeman is a free agent and he is one of the best players in baseball. So I would be shocked if the Dodgers aren't interested in him. I don't know how much they've gone after him. You know, you can never tell with just reports that you're getting from the media, just because all that stuff is being fed by agents or teams, or you never know who the source is, which that's an important part of journalism, but it's also part of the reason you got to take everything with a grain of salt. And so, just because a reporter says the Dodgers are interested in Freddie Freeman doesn't necessarily mean that they are. It could mean that Freddie Freeman's agent is trying to drum up more interest and saying, hey, the richest team in baseball that's most willing to spend money is interested in my client. That's a good way to get the Braves to say, oh, we better get off our butts and offer him more money. So that could be all it is. But I do think in this case, probably where there's smoke, there's fire. And I think the Dodgers would love to have Freddie Freeman. I know I, a Dodger fan, would love for the Dodgers to have Freddie Freeman. And when Jesus asks, who's a better fit, Chris Bryant or Freddie Freeman, you know, my instinct was this is an easy answer, and it's not quite as easy as it seems, because Chris Bryant does have more positional flexibility. We know that that's something the Dodgers value, that the Dodgers like to move guys around or have the possibility of moving guys around. It's not that they do it just because they like it, but it allows you to be more flexible with your whole lineup, giving guys days off, all those things. So Chris Bryant is a better fit positionally. For me, though, what it boils down to is Freddie Freeman is a better baseball player than Chris Bryant. At this point in time, Freeman's better than Bryant. Even though, you know, age-wise, you know, you might not think so, even position-wise. But Freddie Freeman is a great hitter still, and Chris Bryant is not a great hitter still. That's my opinion. I think he is a decent hitter, and he will still run into some things, and he can go on a streak. And, you know, he may have a great season in 2022, but I think Freddie Freeman is a better player than Chris Bryant. So for me, that always wins out. Let's go with the better player. And Freeman, even though he doesn't necessarily have positional flexibility, although he did play some third base a couple of years ago, that is a possibility. But you've got Max Muncy, who can play second base or third base, and he's the Dodgers' current first baseman. And so even if Freeman is the first baseman, you've still got positional flexibility to work around him. And for me, I've said it before, Freddie Freeman is the kind of guy you make room for in your lineup. If you can get Freddie Freeman, you go get Freddie Freeman, and you make room in your lineup for him, because that dude can hit. So for me, that's what it boils down to. I do think the fact that the Dodgers don't have a strong need for Freeman probably means that they're not going to go crazy to sign him. But, if the Braves are really intent on lowballing him, then yeah, maybe the Dodgers jump in and say, look, Freddie, come home to Southern California and you'll look better in Dodger blue, because everyone looks better in Dodger blue. Braves colors aren't bad, but it's not Dodger blue. So Freddie Freeman would look really good in Dodger blue. Chris Bryant, we know he looks good in Dodger blue, because Cubs blue is basically the same. And Chris Bryant looked good in pretty much everything. And I wouldn't be heartbroken if the Dodgers went after Bryant, but if they're going after a high profile free agent, I would rather have it be Freddie Freeman. So that's my thoughts on that. I'm going to jump into my last thing. I'll take my next break partway through this little exercise. But thank you all for the questions. First of all, I should have said that. Thank you for your questions. You can always reach out and send us questions anytime you want. I'll give all the contact info at the end of the episode like I always do. But you don't have to wait for us to ask for questions. You can be proactive and send your questions or comments or topics or whatever anytime you want. So for this exercise, the thought I had was, if we look at the Dodgers' whole 40-man roster and you look at, okay, when was a player drafted? So for example, the first guy on my list, I don't know how Baseball Reference, how they are arranging this list, but Dustin May is the first one on my list for whatever reason at Baseball Reference. So I looked at Dustin May, said he was drafted in the third round in 2016. And so then I'm saying, I look at who was drafted shortly after him, ideally in the rest of that round after the player. But if the player was drafted near the end of the round, I'll jump into, you know, the first part of the next round or whatever. And so for this one, Dustin May, he was drafted with the 24th pick in the third round in 2016. Well, five picks later, the Cardinals picked Zach Gallen. And Zach Gallen, I'll take that. You know, obviously I'd rather have Dustin May, but Zach Gallen is a decent replacement. So that, you know, for Dustin May, I'm saying, okay, Dodgers have Zach Gallen instead. So then I'm doing the whole 40-man roster like that. What would their roster look like if we had to replace everyone who was drafted with somebody who was drafted shortly after them? And some guys weren't drafted. So, you know, Julio stays on the roster because he wasn't drafted. But I'm just going to go down and I'm going to tell you what this roster would look like. My philosophy was definitely go with the best player available. I didn't put too much thought into position, except, you know, in one or two cases. But for the most part, I just went, okay, who's the best player available? Because that's how you should build a 40-man roster. And then you touch up the active roster with free agency or whatever. And the Dodgers might end up with some work to do in free agency. But overall, it's going to end up a pretty decent roster, I think. So I told you, Dustin may become Zach Gallen. Michael Grove, who was just added to the Dodgers 40-man roster, guess what? They're getting Josiah Gray back because the Dodgers drafted both of them, but they drafted Josiah Gray shortly after they drafted Michael Grove. So Josiah Gray coming back to the Dodgers. Mitchell White, hey, let's replace him with Bo Bichette. Drafted just after Mitch White, Bo Bichette. I'll take that trade all day long. Justin Brewer actually wasn't drafted. So we keep Justin Brewer. Same with Julio. Walker Buehler. Ooh, sad to see Buehler go. But we're going to get Ke'Bryan Hayes, the Pirates third baseman. Also could have gone with Austin Riley. I went with Hayes. They're both third basemen. Hayes is a little bit younger. I think he's going to end up better than Riley, even though Riley was probably better this past season. But that was a tough choice, but I went with Ke'Bryan Hayes. Then Phil Bickford, guess what? I'm taking Walker Buehler back because Buehler was drafted just after Phil Bickford. And you know what? Maybe it seems like a loophole, but that's why you play a game that you invented, because then you invented the rules so you can have these loopholes. Like, hey, and I even might have, don't tell anybody, but I might have switched the order that I was drafting so that I could get rid of Buehler to get Ke'Bryan Hayes and then get Buehler right back through Phil Bickford. You know, only time will tell. You'd have to know. Next one, Tommy Canley. Tommy Canley becomes Kevin Gausman. This one was another little bit of a loophole because shortly after Tommy Canley was drafted, the Dodgers actually drafted Kevin Gausman. He didn't sign. That was out of high school. But my rules never said that the guy had to sign, just was drafted shortly after. I've got a few guys who didn't sign. But Kevin Gausman comes over to replace Tommy Canley. That's a decent replacement right there. This next one is interesting. Tony Gonsolin becomes Santiago Espinal, who plays for the Blue Jays. And I've only barely heard the name, but he actually had a decent season this last year. So might be a decent pickup. Let's do one or two more and then we'll take a break. Garrett Clevenger, who I had forgotten he existed, but he's still on the Dodgers 40-man roster. He becomes Cardinals reliever Jordan Hicks, who throws really, really hard, has some of the arm problems you would expect from a guy who throws really, really hard. We'll take him. The Dodgers can use Jordan Hicks in their bullpen. And last one before we take a break, Evan Phillips was drafted really late. It was, I think, in the 17th round, something. Anyway, a late round pick, late-ish. Also picked was a high schooler named Nick Madrigal, who didn't sign. Later became a much higher pick for the White Sox. But Nick Madrigal replaces Evan Phillips on our roster. I'm going to take a quick break. I'm going to come back. I'm going to do the rest of the 40-man roster. We've got about, 30 guys left. So thank you again for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every day. And keep it locked on Dodgers. Hey, betonline.ag has you covered this holiday season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before as football continues its march through the College Bowl season and the Pro Football Playoffs. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all the sports action this season. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code LOCKEDON to receive your bonus. From basketball, football, NHL, boxing, and UFC, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite sports. So don't wait to take advantage of all the new amazing offers available. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right, I am back. Thank you again for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every day. Going to jump back into my game. If you missed the rules, basically everybody on the Dodgers 40-man roster who was drafted, we are replacing them on the roster with somebody who was drafted shortly after them. That's the long and the short of it. Our next pick is Trevor Bauer. He was a third pick in the first round, and there were a lot of good guys shortly after him. They came down to Francisco Lindor or Anthony Rendon, and for a few reasons, I went with Lindor. Lindor, you can't go wrong with either of those picks. But I was with Lindor, replacing Trevor Bauer with Francisco Lindor. I think that's a trade that a lot of people would make right now. Next, Victor Gonzalez was not drafted, so we get to keep him. David Price, this was a hard one. He was a first overall pick, but that was like 1,000 years ago. Most of the guys drafted in that round aren't even active anymore. But one guy who is was Josh Donaldson, and he's still pretty okay. And that's part, you know, when I mentioned Anthony Rendon, I ended up with a few third basemen on this roster. And so while I said I'm going for best available, I did use position as kind of a tiebreaker sometimes. And so, but David Price becomes Josh Donaldson. We've got Darian Nunez, who was not drafted, so he stays. Daniel Hudson, another one that was hard. He was drafted late-ish and a long time ago. So the only real option there for him is Alex Avila, who I guess isn't a terrible option as a backup catcher, maybe. Caleb Ferguson, he was another guy who was drafted late, and I was able to find somebody who was drafted out of high school and didn't sign and eventually was drafted higher and became okay, and that's Paul DeJong, the Cardinals shortstop. He was actually drafted as a catcher out of high school shortly after Caleb Ferguson was drafted. So we'll go with Paul DeJong to replace Caleb Ferguson on the roster. Bruce Dar-Gratterall was not drafted, so he stays. That's nice. Blake Treinen was a hard one. I think the only guy who's even still active from shortly after him is Ken Giles, and he's recovering from Tommy John surgery, but he's better than nothing. And Ken Giles, if he comes back healthy, he could be a solid Blake Treinen replacement. Not ideal, but you know, it's the rules of the game. We got to do what we got to do. The next one is Andrew Heaney. You know, Dodgers just got Andrew Heaney. Sad to see him go so soon, but you know who was drafted just a few picks after Andrew Heaney? Young man by the name of Corey Seager. We're getting Corey Seager back in this trade. So Andrew Heaney becomes Corey Seager. Andre Jackson was a hard one. He was like a 12th round pick. Nobody even has made the hardly any guys have made the big leagues. I went with Jake Myers. He's a guy in the Astros who I'd never heard of, but he did play in the big leagues this last year, and he was decent. He had a 107 OPS plus for a center fielder, so that's solid-ish. It was like 160 plate appearances, but he was like on pace for like a 5-WAR season over a full season. Who knows if he would keep that up, but, you know, you got to take somebody. So Andre Jackson becomes Jake Myers. Alex Vesia, really hard one. Nobody has even reached the majors from around him. I went with Clayton Andrews. He hasn't reached the big leagues, but he's a left-handed pitcher named Clayton. So, you know, how bad could he be? Zach McKinstry, he was drafted in like the 894th round or something. I went with Cameron Misner. He hasn't reached the big leagues yet, but he was a first-round pick 3 years later. He was drafted in the 33rd round with McKinstry here, but then he didn't sign, went to college, and was a first-round pick 3 years later. So he's maybe going to turn into something, maybe. Will Smith, sad to lose Will Smith, but I went with Cardinals outfielder Dylan Carlson. Carlson, he seems like he's got a lot of potential to be pretty good. So, you know, it doesn't make up for losing Will Smith, although something later might make up for losing Will Smith. Just keep posted and you'll find out. But Dylan Carlson, he's a decent replacement. Trey Turner, sad to lose Trey Turner, but a couple picks after Trey Turner was Matt Chapman. And, you know, again, like I said, Dodgers now have Josh Donaldson and Matt Chapman, according to this game, which is why we didn't go with Anthony Rendon. I like me some Matt Chapman, so no hard feelings there. AJ Pollock, you know, sad to see Pollock go, except when you remember that a few picks after him, the Angels picked a young man by the name of Michael Nelson Trout. So in this game, Mike Trout replaces AJ Pollock on the 40-man roster. That is a trade I will make 9 times a day. Mookie Betts, definitely don't want to see Mookie Betts go, but we have to. 2 picks after Betts, the Brewers took Brandon Woodruff. Woodruff seems to be just coming into his own, and this pitching staff is going to need some help. So Brandon Woodruff is a decent replacement for Mookie. Heartbroken to see Max Muncy go, but we have to in this game. Shortly after the A's took Max Muncy, the Dodgers took Ross Stripling. And so we're bringing Ross Stripling back in this trade. Next one is Matt Beatty. And I had to stretch the rules here. I went with Cedric Mullins because Beatty was drafted near the end of his round. And Mullins was drafted near the end of the next round. And it didn't quite fit into, like, I think Beatty was the 27th pick in his round. Mullins was the 28th pick in his round. But what's the point of making up a game if you can't stretch the rules once in a while to replace Matt Beatty with Cedric Mullins on the roster? So that's what we did there. Luke Raley becomes Andrew Kisner, another backup catcher. So, you know, it's hard to believe that a bad backup catcher is an upgrade over somebody, but it's Luke Raley who, you know, I do think Raley's going to be good. I think he's going to be a solid big leaguer. I don't think he is as bad as he looked in the big leagues last year, but according to this game, we're replacing him on the roster with Andrew Kisner. Justin Turner was impossible. There's nobody else still active from just after him in the draft. I went with Mike Leake because he had the best career. He's retired. I don't know what that, I guess, just opens up a spot on the 40-man roster for the Dodgers to go sign Freddie Freeman or whatever. So we'll take it. Jorbeet Vivas was not drafted, so he stays. James Outman. I went with Lars Nootbaar. He also plays for the Cardinals. He has a funny name, Lars Nootbaar. So one of my philosophies in life is when you have a chance to get a guy named Lars Nootbaar, you take that chance. So that's why I did that. Jacob Amaya becomes Bailey Ober, a Twins pitcher who was solid. He's a good back of the rotation starter. And for Jacob Amaya, that's a decent trade. Gavin Lux, sad to see Lux go. You guys know I'm driving the Lux train. But later in that same first round, after the Dodgers drafted Gavin Lux, well, they also drafted Will Smith. So we're getting Will Smith back. We got our starting catcher back in exchange for Gavin Lux. Edwin Rios. I went with Jake Cronenworth. Another possibility was David Fletcher. I do think Cronenworth is a significantly better player than Fletcher. Fletcher doesn't strike out much, but he also doesn't hit the ball hard at all ever. So as much as Angel fans think that Fletcher is, you know, Angel fans loved, what's his name too? What was that little shortstop they used to have? Later went to the Cardinals. I can see his face. Can't remember his name right now. His brother was a hitting coach for the Nationals. Apparently I can remember everything about him except his name. But that's the kind of guy that the Angels fans love. They love guys like David Fletcher. They still think Gary DeSarcina was one of the best players in baseball. I'm sure that other guy's name is going to come to me as soon as I stop trying to remember it. So I'll stop trying to remember it. Just know that Edwin Rios becomes Jake Cronenworth. Eddie's Leonard was not drafted, so he stays. Cody Bellinger, it's a rough one. The only real option was Isaiah Kiner-Falefa of the Rangers, who is a solid player with some positional flexibility. So, you know, it's not a terrible trade, but obviously Cody Bellinger is who you'd rather have there. Chris Taylor, sad to see Taylor leave, but we get Max Muncy back because Muncy, Taylor, Stripling, and Muncy were all drafted in the same round. And thanks to the ordering, we swap out Chris Taylor, we get Max Muncy back. So that's good. And then our last one, Austin Barnes, definitely don't need him anymore since we have Alex Avila and Andrew Kisner as backup catchers to Will Smith. And Austin Barnes becomes Travis Shaw. Not really any good options to replace him. But, you know, mostly I'm glad that they don't have to do this, although I wouldn't mind having obviously Mike Trout, Matt Chapman, and Francisco Lindor on the roster, but I'm kind of attached to guys like Mookie Betts and Cody Bellinger and a lot of these guys. I really like what the Dodgers have going, and so I'm glad they don't have to do this stupid game that I made up, but mostly I'm glad that it gave me something to talk about on the podcast because, as you know, Locked on Dodgers is here 5 days a week to talk Dodgers with you. As you also know, there's a lockout going on, and so sometimes the topics are a little bit harder to come up with. So this was a fun game. And, you know, mostly it's fun to, it's kind of a remember those guys and, you know, see who was drafted around the same time. That's always interesting, or at least kind of interesting. And it got us through a podcast episode. So that's the thing that's most important. I want to thank you again for making Locked on Dodgers your first listen every day. It means a lot to us. And now for your second listen today, go check out Locked on Bets, your daily one-stop shop for all your gambling needs. Locked on Bets, hosted by your boy Q with expert analysis and insight from Lee Sterling. It's free and available on all platforms. If you are not listening to Locked on Dodgers every day, we would love if you add 1 or 2 days a month to your rotation. If you have friends or family who love the Dodgers as much as you do, please tell them about the show, and maybe they'll love it as much as you do too. You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Locked on Dodgers. Vince is on Twitter at Vince Semperio. I am on Twitter at Snydog, and the DMs are open in all of those places. Our email address is lockedondodgers@gmail.com, and our phone number for voicemails or texts is 323-863-LOCK-5625. We are here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be here with us. When you get in your car or sit on your couch, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked on Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree, you just have to listen. We'll talk to you tomorrow.